Please turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm 119, we're just to the right of dead center in the Bible. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to start here in just a second, but the text verse is 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Take your Bible, pull one out. There you go. Psalm 119. If you found it, say amen. Let's read it together as a family, please. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Light is a comforting thing. I've been lost before. I not just spiritually lost, but physically lost. I mean, I saw on Facebook today somebody had an old map, an old state map. Anybody ever use one of those? I'm like, yeah, I clicked like on that. I remember having to use maps and map books. Anybody else remember using map books? First time I went to New York, budget car rental didn't have a GPS for me. I had to go to the nearest gas station and buy a map book and then try to figure out how to get around Brooklyn. And basically, I got car sick doing it. And it's one thing, though, to be lost in the daytime. It's completely a different thing to be lost at night when you can't see the landmarks, you can't see things, and it's very nerve-wracking trying to drive, trying to find your way at night. You realize that what goes on, you know, being at church during the day is a whole lot different than being at church here at night. Right now, you're not actually at night. I've come here and been here like at midnight, and the church makes these noises and sounds. You think the demons come in and have services after we're gone? Because I don't know. I'll be sitting in my office working some night, and I'll hear a crack or a pop, and I'm afraid because I figure Brother Walker's out here going to jump on me, going to go boo or something. But the truth is it's one thing to be here during the day and hear cracks and pops and whatever. It's a whole nother thing to be at night. Light is a comforting thing. In Psalm 119, it's all broken up into sections in verse, 8 verses at a time, as we talked about last time. And this is how they taught the Jewish children their ABCs, basically. It is how they did it. But the first 97 verses were kind of dark and ominous. It seemed like David was riding under a cloud, and it seemed like Psalm 19 took them. It was something he added to over his lifetime. It was a project, because as you get into the latter verses, it's like the sun broke through. Something about verse 97 and on to the end, it's a little lighter, it's a little brighter, and maybe it's because he's older and he's looking back with a little more wisdom. Starting in verse number 97, I want you to see that genuine wisdom comes from God and the study of His Word. Look at verse number 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, the more you study God's Word, the more you fall in love with it. And we memorize pieces of God's Word so that we can meditate on it. Look at verse 97. He says, it is my meditation all the day. Now, do you understand what meditation is? Meditation is not mindlessly sitting there. That it's not about emptying your mind. It's about taking God's word and running over it and over it and over it in your mind. As you memorize God's word, you think through every word, every phrase as they come together, and you start asking yourself questions, or asking the Lord, really. You're asking the Spirit to speak to you. Lord, is this a command I need to follow? Is this a promise I need to claim? That's what meditation is. When you meditate on God's word, you are thinking about it. You are pulling each and every syllable and word and putting it together and asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you. It's considering it every day and every decision of your day. That's what it means to meditate. That's what he meant by verse 97. It is my meditation all the day. That as I go throughout my day, I am speaking to the Holy Spirit about what this is. And what is that verse? How does that verse apply to me today? Today's verse was Proverbs 1 and verse number 8. And it talked about our testimony. It talked about receiving the law of our, listening to the law of our father and our mother and applying it to our lives. And verse number 98, look what it says. That thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I don't know about you, but my language and my accent gets affected based on who I'm around all day. Is that the same way you are? My wife can tell when I'm reading Spurgeon because I get loftier language. I'll use these lofty words that he uses. It has come into my language. And genuine wisdom comes from the study of God's word. And the more you read it, the more you meditate upon it, it will change the way you talk and the way you think. Look at verse number 99. There's a very important educational principle here in verse number 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Only one who obeys God can fully understand God's word. When I'm reading it, and I read books. I don't know about you, but I love to read books. I love books. I've got a ton of books in my office. I love to read them. But what I'm reading is someone else's meditation on the word of God. It's their insights in their life. And it's good, and you can glean from it. But it doesn't and should not take the place of you reading and meditating God's word, because you're doing it in the context of your daily life, what you're facing. I'll read John MacArthur, or I'll read Spurgeon, or I'll read somebody else. But you know what? I'm not going through whatever he was going through when he meditated on that piece of scripture. I'm going through something different. So as I meditate on the scripture, I need to bring that in the context of my daily walk today. And that's what David is saying. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. There's just no substitute for your own personal daily meditation in the word, because it brings it into the context of your individual life where you are today. That's why I've asked the teenagers to do daily devotions in the GLOW. Because you're going through something today that the guy who wrote it wasn't. And that word of God will speak to you in your daily context. Also, look at verse 101 and 102. There is safety in divine truth. Look at verse 101. It says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. There is safety. But it's all worthless if I've not disciplined myself to engage myself with God's word. My preacher wrote in my ordination Bible, it says, sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin. Now, have you ever watched like on CNN or something, and they're having an interview with somebody, and behind him is a wall of books? You ever do that? We call them books for looks. You know, just books for looks. Brother Brady, you see those? I got those really pretty books in my office. Makes me look smart. You know what I'm saying? But they don't do me a lick of good if I don't open them and engage myself in them. It's the same thing with the Word of God. I mean, we all have, I have pretty Bibles. Brother Jerry, I have pretty Bibles. I have really big ones, ones I haven't even opened up yet. They're sweet. And I've got some that got all kinds of really neat marks in them and things like that. And I've got little Bibles, and I've got medium-sized Bibles, and I've got big Bibles I would never take anywhere else. I got old Bibles and new Bibles and everything in between, but they don't do me a lick of good if I don't open them and engage myself in them. You understand what I'm saying? That's the Word of God. Listen, only a person who can engage himself in it, meditates on it, and obeys it can fully understand it. Why do you got to obey it? Because until you obey it and see the results, it's just an academic exercise. But when you obey the Word of God, all of a sudden God opens up this understanding in your heart and in your mind like, it's true. He really does bless. It really does matter. I'll brag on the Crockett girls. They're not here tonight. I asked Sierra. I said, Sierra, what'll keep you from your dreams? She says, boys, parties, alcohol, drugs. Right. But what will get you to your dreams? She looked at me and said, I don't know. This book. This book will get you to the life you want. This book will get you to favor with God and man. This book will get you to where you need to be. And you say, well, you know, some of the desires we have in our hearts don't line up with this Bible. Yes, but our heart will end up lining up with this Bible when we engage it. Verse number 102 says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. There's safety in divine truth, because as you obey it, then God is responsible for the results in your life. Look at verse number 103 and 104. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, at this time in Israel, there was no sweeter thing. There was no refined sugar. There was nothing like we have today. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but if you've ever had soda or candy from like Mexico, it's a whole lot sweeter than it is here. I don't know what it's like in the Philippines, but here, you know, you get used to it. You think, well, Coke's really, really sweet. Wait till you have Coca-Cola in Mexico. It makes your teeth ache. There's so much sugar in it. Back then, the sweetest thing on the planet at that time was just honeycomb. And David said, your word is even sweeter than that. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You know, the word of God is not something that we should just have an academic study on. It has to be grappled with, meaning you've got to grab hold of it and you need to wrestle with it in your daily, momentary walk throughout your day. You've got to grapple and wrestle with it because it's in the arena of everyday experience that God's true wisdom and the light of it really starts to make sense. So as you get here into verse number 105, he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have the source of light that can dispel the darkness in my life. I have it right here. And we need to let this Bible first cast a light on where I am. Look at verse 105. There is a lamp unto my feet. It shows me where I am right now. One of the greatest things that was ever invented into the cell phone was a flashlight in the cell phone. Can I get an amen? Right? Because when you walk through the house, you know what I'm saying, and you step on a Lego, it's hard to retain your Christianity when you step on a Lego in the middle of the night. So you get that out, and you just punch a button and give it a little flick. Now you got light. Isn't that fabulous? I can see where I am right now. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It can tell me my spiritual condition. If I look into the God's word, it'll tell me where I am right now. It'll tell me whether I'm lost or saved. It'll tell me whether I'm right with God or I've got a problem between me and God. It shows me my spiritual condition. In James chapter 1 and verse 25 and 26, the Bible refers to itself as a mirror. Looking into a glass, I can see myself and where I am with God. Right there. It's a light on where my feet are right now. It can also tell me which path I'm on. It can tell me what path I'm on. In Matthew chapter number 7, listen to what it reads in Matthew 7 and verse number 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, meaning, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Why is it few? Because they won't look into the word. If they'll engage God's word, they'll know where they are and they'll know where they're going. It's a light unto my path. Now, the Bible says that the lost people are blind. And I know what that's like. I remember being lost. I remember I didn't get saved until I was 23 years old. So as a high school, college, and a young married man, I know what it's like to be lost. I know how lost people think. I was that way. And I was blind to my need. I was blind to God's word. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 that the gospel is hid to those that are lost. It was hid to me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 that the natural man, the lost man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. That's why when the lost folks, it doesn't make much sense to them. But this word, this Bible shows me where I am. It shows me where I'm going and where I'm at in relationship to our Lord. The Bible says in 1 John 1, 7 that we are to walk in the light as he is in the light. And we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We need to let the word of God cast its light upon us. You do that by looking into it and not just reading it to check a box and say, okay, I'm done. Okay, I'm done. Okay, I'm done. Okay, I'm done. You read it and you engage it. David said, it's my meditation. for it to be a light, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have to let this word permeate me. I've not just got to read it and not just memorize it to get a prize. I need to memorize it so that I can meditate on it, so that I can run it over in my mind over and over and over again. And I need to ask the Lord questions. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23 that we are not redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversations. But we are redeemed by what? The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It's essential. It's essential for faith. Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The more you read this book, the more you know God, the more your confidence level in God rises. And you can trust Him for more. People say, well, I just don't know. My faith isn't that big. It's because you don't know Him. If you know Him, the more you know Him, the more you'll trust Him, the more you will believe in Him. So Psalm 119 verse 105 tells us that it's essential for directing our life. This same psalm in verse 9 tells us that it keeps us from sin. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, verse 9 says, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. But to get to know God, to really get to know God, to experience Him fullness, you've got to read this book. You've got to let Him reveal Himself through His Word. He'll reveal Himself. He'll reveal His will. He'll reveal His plan. See, it's a light. It's a lamp unto my feet where I am right now. My condition, where I'm at in my walk. It's also a light unto my path to where I can see the next step. Well, I just want God to give me a vision for 20 years from now. Listen to me. The one constant in the universe is change. Whatever picture you paint, what you really need is the grace for today and the faith to take the next step, because He is going to direct your path. Will you trust Him to do so? You know, we think we know each other. We do this all the time. We've been married, Miss Mix and I have been married 29 years. And we think we know each other. We get to where we think we can finish each other's sentences. The scary thing is, I read somewhere that said, the longer you've been married, the more you look alike. Right? I don't know about that. I also read, the longer you have a dog, the more you and the dog look alike. But I don't know if that's true or not. But the truth is the more I walk with God, the longer I walk with God, the more I read His Word, the more I know about Him. And He reveals Himself to me. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. So what is God like? If you had to sit down and write an essay tomorrow at school or at work, and it was like, okay, answer this question. What is God like? If you were to say, well, it'd be easier if somebody said, well, what's grandma like? Well, and you write what you know about grandma or our grandpa, or what was your oldest living relative? What were they like? And you would write about what you know, what you've experienced, how you've engaged them. But what's God like? Well, all you know is what you've gleaned by engaging with Him in conversation through the Word and through the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He'll never lead you contrary to the Word, but he'll speak to you if you ask Him questions and pause long enough and listen. That's meditation, talking to Him about what the Bible is saying. When you're reading the Bible and something doesn't make sense, that is the key opportunity to go to the one who wrote it and ask them for clarity. That's the Holy Spirit. Ask Him for clarity. I love answering questions. Ask me anything. I'll tell you what I know. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit, He'll answer. He wants you to know this book. This Bible is a light, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So where are you right now in the light of Scripture, in regards to Scripture, in the light of what the Bible says? Where are you currently in your walk? Are you saved? Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember how you got saved? Where were you when it happened? In light of God's Word, in the context of what it says, where are you at? You saved? Yes, I'm saved. Okay, where are you at now in relationship to your walk with God? How far behind are you trailing him? Are you walking in step with him every step of the way? Or is he out in front of you trying to get you to catch up? Where are you at? Is there something between you and the Lord? You know, when I became a teenager, I entered what's called the teen tunnel. You ever heard of the teen tunnel, Brady? It was like I got into a tunnel. And me and Dad got along just fine till I turned 13. And then when I turned 13, you know, I got into that teen tunnel. And I couldn't get a fix on what he was saying, and he couldn't get a fix on what I was saying. And I didn't know where he was coming from, and he didn't know where I was coming from. And we didn't make any sense. I would try to talk to him, and it's like, blah, 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 blah. And he would talk to me, and it was like, wah, 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 wah. And I just, it didn't make no sense. It was like I was in a tunnel until I got saved. And about 25, I came out of that tunnel and realized my dad was a genius. You know what I'm saying? I can now understand him. Are you in a spiritual tunnel right now with God? You're saved and you know it. You were there when you got saved. You remember being saved, but you really are having a struggle hearing his voice from the word. It's like you're in a tunnel and you're just not getting a fix on him. What is it that's between you and him? See, the Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet, spiritual condition where I'm at right now. It's also a light unto my path. What is in your path that's between you and the Lord? On Sunday, we're going to have so much fun. We're going to look at the conversion of Paul. We're going to have so much fun looking at that. And it's such a pivotal point in Christianity. It's one of the big ones, okay, where the whole thing just shifts on this one incident. But it took Saul 3 days to get right with God. It took Saul 3 days of fasting and praying to get right. Is there something between you and your Lord? The Bible will reveal it. The Spirit will talk to you if you'll ask him. Is there something between you and me, Lord, that I need to seek forgiveness from? Or is there something I should be doing that I'm not doing that's really keeping us from hearing each other and talking to each other? Remember, I talked to you about hindrances to prayer a couple Sundays ago. I talked to you about what keeps us from being heard and hearing God. Is one of it's our sin. One of it's our unforgiveness of our brethren. One of it is us wronging and not going to seek forgiveness where we've wronged someone. Are you in like a spiritual tunnel? The word of God will reveal it. And if you'll just do 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I'm not in any big, gross, immoral sin. Are you just racing through your devotions to get your pastor to shut up? So he'll get off your back. I wrote something. I read something. I checked the box. That's not really communing with the Lord. That's not meditating. It's a waste of time. It's really a waste of time. Ask God to speak, then read. And read and run over it in your mind, saying, God, I need you to speak to me. David said that this word is a lamp unto my feet. It'll show me where I'm at in relationship to my Lord. And it'll show me the next step in my path to following him. In 2 Corinthians 13, if you've taken notes, look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 3. Look at what the Bible says. It says, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves. Stop right there for a second. You know what's going on in your life. I'm not God's deputy sheriff. You know where you're at. Examine yourselves. Do you see this? Whether ye be in the faith. Only you know the truth. Prove your own selves. Really? Prove it. Live it out. You're saved? Then live it out. Live it out large. Live it out loud. Let it, live out through you. It is a lamp on where you are right now. It is a light to your path. How about it be a light to everyone around you as it shines through you? Examine yourself. Prove it. Prove it doesn't mean just show me the proof, but it means to let your life prove out what it is you say about God. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? In the light of Scripture, right now, where are you in your walk with God? Are you heaven bound? Have you trusted the Lord? Where are you at in the light of Scripture today, compared in relationship to your walk with God? Are you right there with Him in step? Are you lagging behind? You say to yourself, well, I'm doing pretty good in this area. Then shine the light of the Word of God on all the other ones too. You know, the Bible refers to itself as a hammer in Jeremiah 23 that breaketh the rock in pieces, and as a fire that it'll do a work. It's a destructive book. It's also a cleansing book. In John 15:3, it's referred to as water, how it'll wash us and clean us and freshen us. It's a sword. Yeah, it's convicting. It's alive, the Bible says in Hebrews 4. It means it's alive and applicable to every age group at every age of time and every era. Where are you at, not only in your relationship with God, but where are you at in your service to God? What are you doing with what God has given you? The Word of God will shine a light on it. Well, my job is to just be critical. That's my job. That's what I think it is. Is that you think that's your spiritual gift, to just be critical? Well, there was an old comic back when I was a kid called Gallagher, and he said his job in life was to point out stupid stuff. Do you remember that? Just point out stupid stuff. That is not a spiritual gift, by the way. What are you doing with the Word of God you've been given? What are you doing with the Word of God that you've hidden in your heart? What are you doing with the Word of God that is shining currently at your feet and showing you the next step? What are you doing with it? God has a plan for you. Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The question is, do we trust Him? In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." When I was a youth pastor, full-time in El Paso, I used to tell all my teenagers, I said, listen, God has got the spouse for you. If you're a guy, God has God has got this godly girl for you. If you're a girl, then God has this godly preacher ready for you. He's maturing him and working on him. And they'd always say the same thing to me. What if he's ugly? Trust me, God ain't going to do that to you. You got to trust the Lord. I'd say, no, come on. The truth is, we're afraid that God is driving us in a direction we won't like, because we don't trust Him. We don't trust Him. We don't trust that He wants what's best for us or even knows what's best for us. That's why we don't trust Him. See, if we'll let the Word permeate us, we'll know Him. We'll not only trust Him for my spiritual condition right here, I'll also trust Him for what's coming down the road. That He knows what's best and wants what's best, because I know His heart, I know His character, and I've experienced His grace every day. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Are you letting God lead you through His Word? Are you letting God grow you? His Word is the light that not only illuminates us, but guides us and directs us. How well do you know Him? Our Father and our God, in the next few minutes, we've been stirred and we've been challenged. I pray tonight, Father, that Your Word would not go out, come back void, but Father, as You promised, it would do the work You have planned for it. And God, that it would go to every dark recess and corner of this area and around the world to shine the light of the gospel. Let it start in us tonight, God. Let Your Word show us tonight where we are. point us for the next step. In Jesus' name, amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play, if you die tonight and you're not sure heaven's your home, you need to come and you need to settle it tonight. You need to trust the Lord as your Savior. Repent of your sin and turn to Him, and He'll save you. His Word says He did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. He came for you. Christian, are you trusting Christ with the rest of your life? You're saved. You've trusted Him with your soul. How about you trust Him with the rest of your life? If you can trust Him for eternity, can't you just trust Him for the next few decades? Seems kind of foolish, doesn't it? If you can't trust Him with tomorrow, how are you going to trust Him with eternity? But if you're trusting Him for eternity, how about you trust Him for today and tomorrow? As she plays, the altar's open. How about you?
That guides my heart.
Lord, every head bowed, every eye closed.
I need you.
Tomorrow morning, we're leaving for the retreat with the youth to the prayer dance. Teenagers, I'm challenging you. Speak to God right now. Just take a minute where you are and ask the Lord, speak to me while I'm at this retreat. Speak to me. I'm listening. Parents, adults, will you be praying? Will you commit to pray over the next 72 hours for God to do something great? Not just safe travels and fun, but that God would move in and shine the light of His Word into the lives of each person at this retreat. That His will would be done and that He would call. And that people would answer.
And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Yes, where you are, Lord,
our Father and our God, we love you. We are thankful for your missionaries. We are thankful, Father, for the mission and that you're still calling people. I pray, God, tonight, as we go our separate ways, we would not let what we've seen and heard fall upon deaf ears and a hard heart, but God, we would be stirred and we would be challenged and changed. And God, we commit to do thy will. Please speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way?